This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on creating an environment that's inviting for new parents with Mrs. Julie Hanna. Mrs. Hanna serves as the church nursery director for Lancaster Baptist Church.
I'm speaking today on what they gave me was creating an environment that is inviting to parents. I think that that is the hardest thing to deal with when, because you know how you want to be when you're the nursery leader or the nursery director or the pastor's wife, or you know, it just happens to be your little section that you're taking care of at the moment. You know how you want to be. It's just really hard to get that across to the people that help you. And as we all know, volunteers can help you and they can hurt you. You have to be able to manage and not lose it all the time. Like, why did you, you know, because everybody is different. Every personality is different. And if we're perfectly honest, we're all women, which makes it even more different. Then it'd be much easier if we could just stick men in there. Men, you give them a list and they do it. There's no, well, why can't we do it this way? They just read the list and they do it. You change a diaper this way, hey, great. She said to put gloves on, I'll put gloves on. Women are like, well, what if I don't like to wear gloves? You know, it's all, you know, you have, those are the things you have to deal with. But we are women, so but sometimes we're a little less patient because we are women. Like, why do you have to keep asking me these questions? Because we're also moms, which really makes us go, why do you have to ask me questions? So today we're going to, I just gave you an acrostic for invite. And letter I is invite. Your spirit should always be inviting. Whether it's, you know, I'll just use this week for an example. Most of us have been here since 6:30 Sunday morning and have barely gone home. And that's just what this week is. And we love every single minute of it. We're tired by the time it's over, but we love every single minute of it. Are there trials? Of course. You have babies that cry the whole time. You have kids that throw up. You have to, you know, all the things that you have to deal with, but you should always be inviting. Don't ever have, if you have the attitude of leadership conference is coming up, that's just so much work. They're gonna catch that. You're no different with your the people that help you than you are with your own children. They will put out what you put in. So if you come in, and I'm not saying we're none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. It's not that I haven't come in weary and gone, oh. But you just have to be as positive as you can be all the time and hope that they catch that. Make sure you and your caregiver show visitors and members that you're glad that they're here. It is so hard to get, you know, there's always that one lady that you try not to, like our nurseries, we have each nursery, and then there's always somebody at the door or the counter that greets them as they come in. And you always, everyone has that one lady that she's a great worker, would volunteer for anything. I mean, if you need something, she's right there. Every single service, every single, she will help you as much, but you can't have her at the door because she just gives a little much, and it's so hard. And those are the ones that always gravitate to where? The door. So then you try to put someone with her that is going to help you keep her away from the door, but somehow they still manage to get there. It's very difficult to try to get them all to understand to be very inviting. I've taken children over the counter screaming and kicking. It is, honestly, I know, it's hard to have a really good attitude when he just hits you in the head and he just pinched your arm so hard that crying is what you're really thinking about doing. And but you still have to, you just have to, you know, you just pray and go to another place as you're taking the child, you know, and be as gracious as you can be. And it's hard, I know, to get them. But if you can get the point across to them, and the more people you have that are like that, I mean, we used to, you know, used to always think that just because they're a mom, they'll be a great nursery worker. I'm not saying they're bad moms, but they're just not good nursery workers. I mean, if there's a mom that comes up to you and says, I really don't want to do this. I do this all week with my own. I mean, unless you are desperate, beyond desperate, don't use her. Because you're just going to frustrate the kids. You're going to frustrate yourself. You're going to frustrate the parents, which honestly, I would rather work every single service than have to make up what someone else destroyed. Because honestly, in this day and age, it takes someone one word for them to never walk through those doors again. One word about their children, you know, oh, well, he cried the whole time. we carry so much on the outside today that it's like I said, you're a horrible mom. Your child cried in here the whole time. That's kind of how they take it, and you have to be so, so careful not to put that point across. So try to make your environment be as inviting as it can be. I did do, several years ago, we used to do everything at each nursery. When you came here, if your child was 2 years old, we directed you to the two-year-old nursery, and you registered him right there. And then a few years ago, I tried my best to try to figure out a way to pull that all away from the nursery so that the nursery workers themselves didn't have to deal with that. We were the ones that took the child back with the parents and said, oh, this is so-and-so, this is his first time, and get all that, instead of them, you know, getting the whole, the children are crying in the nursery, they're trying to fill out the paperwork, and they really don't want to put their kids in anyway, and everything is happening at that moment, they're already halfway back out the door. And that has really helped us immensely with just trying to pull that away from the actual nursery. Sometimes, you know, they always gravitate to the door to stand there and cry. They don't cry in the back of the room, they cry in the front of the room. So if you can figure out a way to do that, it just makes your life, it does make the life in the nursery so much easier. Your workers appreciate it, because then they don't ever have to deal with that confrontation of, can I come in with her? I don't want my nursery workers, my caregivers, I don't want them to have to deal with that. I don't want them to have to be in that position to upset them, you know what I mean? Because you're automatically, if you tell them something they don't want to hear, you are the bad guy. What do you mean I can't go in there with my child? Well, I have 20 other children in here that I have made a promise to their parents that I'm going to keep this environment as secure as I possibly can. I don't know you. You don't know me. I completely understand that. But I do know the 20 other children's parents, and they are trusting me that when they go to church, that they put their children in here and they're going to be as safe as possible. So that's just how you try to, so I tried to pull that all away from the nursery actual counter where they go into the actual nursery. And it has helped, it has made everybody's spirit a little bit better. And it makes life go so much smoother. The next letter is N. N is for nurture. Have a nurturing spirit. Truly show little ones how much you love the Lord by the way you care for them. Train your caregivers in the same manner. You automatically know if someone loves you or cares about you. It shows all the way on the outside. It, you know, should come from the inside and show on the outside. But it's hard to get some people to show that. It helps if they have a personal relationship with the child. I try on Sunday mornings, we pretty much have the same workers every Sunday morning in each nursery. One or two workers might change up a little bit, but generally there's at least one person in there who's there 95% of the time. It makes them feel so much comfortable. It makes mom and dad feel so much comfortable. I really do, without a doubt, that always happens in our youngest nurseries. Under a year old, that is always, even at nighttime, I try my best to have, it may rotate, you know, every other week, or, you know, maybe every week is a different one, but she's there that week every month, that one worker, so that they get to know, everybody feels more comfortable giving them to someone that they know knows how, Billy doesn't normally, you know, he likes to have his blanket. And it's nice as a worker to know that you can console him. Oh, all I have to do is get the blanket instead of sit there for 45 minutes to an hour going, why won't he stop crying? And all you had to do was pull the blanket out of the bag and he was perfectly fine. So they get to know them, they get to know the parents, and that makes just a huge difference in the relationship. Relationships make people happy. Relationships make people come back here. Nobody wants to come here and not be able to find the front door. Have no one show them to the nursery. I get so frustrated when I go to Walmart and I finally find someone to ask, do you know where this is? And they're like, oh yeah, no, we don't carry it. And then I'm walking around the store and it's right there because they wouldn't take the time to say, I understand this person may not know where it is, but give me 5 minutes and say, you know what, let me find someone who does know this department who can help you. I don't care if it takes 5 more minutes. I just want to be helped. And that's really, nobody wants to wander around the property and go, where do I go? What do I do? It's not inviting at all. And believe me, I've been to many churches. When we moved here, I didn't even have children yet. And my husband and I were trying to find a church, and we came from Florida, and you know, there's a Baptist church on every corner in Florida, and it's not like that in other places in the country. And we would go to church on Sunday morning to try to find a church, and we don't know where the front door is. There's no people. There's no one to show you where to go. There's no one to tell you where to go. And there were times that we just got back in the car. I mean, I think the Lord every day, pastor personally himself, was the one that knocked on our door because the church was very small. They had just moved here too. And, you know, we got a personal invitation to come to Lancaster Baptist Church because it wasn't a place we probably wouldn't have even checked out a church. So, you know, those are the things that make a huge difference. So try to have a nurturing atmosphere. let them know that you do love the Lord. You know, do you ever, most of you probably have children. Do you ever, you know, have you ever said to your child, are you happy? Yeah, Mom, I'm happy. And it's like, well, tell your face you're happy because you are grumping around this house like a grump. And if you're happy, it's not showing there. And so, you know, make sure that you're giving off that. I know that everybody gets stressed. I know that things get overwhelming. But just try to keep those people as much forefront as you can in your nurseries. And don't feel bad if you have to ask someone not to do it anymore. You know, do it like here, because we have 1,500 college students. Between our college students that are raised here and then the ones that come from wherever. And so they come and they're given Christian ministry. Of course, everybody wants to work in the baby nursery. So I had to start two semesters ago, I made a rule. You have to be at least a junior or a senior, or you can't work in the baby nursery. Just because they're more mature and accepting, this is a different generation that we're accepting. I had one of the little freshman girls who was working in the nursery who was talking to one of my full-time Lancaster Baptist members, workers, like she didn't know what she was doing. And this particular person worked for the college, and she's a nurse. She was a baby nurse. She delivered babies. And all she had said to her was, you know, you might want to, it was holding her in a certain way or something like that. And she just kind of snapped and said, well, I do this all the time. And I found another place for her to go. And it was with much older children. And actually, I think they ended up putting her on the bus ministry or something. She wanted to work with children, but, you know, really, she can't work with young children. You can't walk in and act like you know everything when, in all honesty, I don't know everything. And I'm way older than she was. I've had 3 children. I know a little bit more, and I've done this for 20-some years. I know a little bit more than her, and she wasn't going to take that direction. So don't feel bad if you have to ask someone not to do it anymore. It's easier if you just kind of say, you know, we really have a position that's needed, you know, with the 4-year-olds. Would you mind working in that? You know, it doesn't always work out the best. You know, they'll get upset with you. But it's much easier to move them than to deal with what you're going to have to deal with eventually. Because it is your sole responsibility to make sure that they're okay. The letter V is for view. Always be researching and assessing your nurseries. Times and styles keep changing. People keep changing. You're not going to have too many people today if you, in the downtown where we started, you went down in the, quote, what I would call a basement. I really don't know what they call them in California because they don't have basements. So, but it was under the ground. So to me, it's a basement. I don't know why it was there, but that's where the classrooms were. So you had to go down, you know, and so we tried our best to make it as welcoming as you can because it wasn't, you're going downstairs. That's never, ever pleasant to go downstairs, you know. You get that, oh, they're going to the dungeon. No, they're not going to the dungeon. It just happens to be downstairs. so remember to always try to keep updating. It doesn't cost a lot to throw some paint on the wall. It doesn't cost a lot to do little decorations. You know, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It just has to take a little bit of time. Remember to look at things as an outsider. This will help you see what they see instead of what you know. I find that now that you know we've been texting people for years and emailing, that there is a connotation that comes with an email and a text, the written word. I meant it one way, you took it another way, because it's a written word. You can't see my face, you can't see my attitude, and your attitude is going to, whatever I could have, my daughter just did, she's in college, and she was taking a teaching English class, and she made posters, and the posters were, and it was all about grammar. So the first poster was grandma in the kitchen with a pot, and a little kid coming in, and he, can we eat grandma? Is what it said. Can we eat grandma? And so then, of course, you know, and she's, technically you would normally be teaching this to younger people. So then the next poster was, can we eat grandma? With the comma, with the proper punctuation. Huge difference in what that meant. Do we get to eat grandma? Or grandma, can we eat? You know, is a completely different, and that's exactly what you have to be so careful about, is that when you view things that you know what's here. You know all the people that work in your nurseries. They do not. So the first impression is going to make it or break it. And if you have the lady who looks like she just rolled out of bed and is cranky as all get out, here, give me your kid, you know, that doesn't usually go over very well. So you have to try to get them to understand that same thing. Because 9 times out of 10, especially in a younger church, you are the first impression of, we are the first impression of Lancaster Baptist Church. Probably 85% of the time, we are the first impression. The people that they talk to at the nursery counter to register their kids are the first thing that they see here. And even though someone knocked on their door, this is what they see of the church and the actual things that go on here. And if I let them stand at the counter for 20 minutes because I'm sitting there talking to someone, or I go take them back to the nursery and the nursery worker's standing at the counter on her cell phone, that's not going to go over well. And so try to view things. I always used to say they always would be, I've always felt so bad because our property is so vast and parking is close to the buildings is not much. And you know, you sit there and, okay, I always sit there, we have greeters on Sunday morning. But the greeters go into church at 11 o'clock. Well, when do visitors show up? 11:05, 11:10. The greeters are all gone. And I'm like, I get these people. I'm always like, if you want to know something, ask the nursery department, because they know. They know who's come to church. They know who left early. They know who came late. We know it all. All you got to do is ask a question. We could probably give you the answer. Who sits in the foyer? Who puts their child in for 5 minutes, takes the child out, and then goes sits in the foyer? There's many questions that we can ask, be asked, and be able to answer. Well, I always used to feel bad because where do visitors have to park? The furthest out, because they come late, and they would walk all the way over to the north building for me to tell them that their children belong in the modular that they just passed 5 minutes ago. They're already stressed out. They're a little bit late for church. They know that. They know that. They're thinking they're coming here, though, and they just walk in and put their kid, you know, or whatever. And so just remember to look at things as an outsider. Remember, look at things around. Like I always say, they go, okay, well, we have signage. And I'm like, you can have all the signage you want. No one reads. They don't read. Even if they read, they're still going to ask a question. They're going to find somebody to ask a question. They don't read. Pass out all the paper maps you want. If I take someone in at the nursery counter over there, and I'm trying to send them to the modulars out there, and I open the door, and I point, oh yeah, just go down to the end of the sidewalk and just keep following the sidewalk. And the modulars are right there. They're lettered A, B, C, and D. You're going to go to E. That kind of like leaves a little bit of a not, because literally, they are not listening to a word that you're saying. They heard the first word and the last word. And they're like, okay. And then you walk away. And they're like, I really don't know where to go. They're just going to get frustrated and go home. And so we have tried over the years to try to make it so much better, like, I have my own greeters that can take people places instead of relying on the church greeters that stand in the foyer or wherever. Just because I need people who are specialized more in wanting to take the time to take them to a class instead of just taking them somewhere and dropping them off. So just make sure that you try to see things as best as you can from someone else's perspective that's never been here before. To me, this is not a big church. It's not big. The buildings aren't that far apart, but to someone who's never been here before, this place is huge. And now we just built the West Wing, and the West Wing, we have two nurseries in the West Wing, and the rest of my nurseries are in the North Building. Yeah, okay, this one goes in the west wing, this one goes in the north building, this one goes over there to a modular. It's a lot for parents to accept and have to sit and be able to think and hear and accept in the service when they're trying to, where was my child? Is my child still going to be there when I come back? Which one did I take where? How did I get him there? All those things. So just try to do it. You can't fix everything. I can't fix the property. I can't fix how spread out we are. But I can try to make the information and the greeting as best as I can. We're not perfect, but I try to do the best that I can. So always try to look at things from the outside. Just walk around and look at your nurseries and go, oh, would I put my child in there? I don't, you know, think of it that way. Or actually think this way. If you're a grandma, think like a grandma. If you're not a grandma, think of what you will do when you are a grandma and go, I'm not putting my grandbaby, of course, because you treat them a little bit different. Your grandchildren are much different than your, our children went in right away, mine went in right away. I'm not so sure I want my grandbaby to go in at a week old. I don't know, I haven't decided yet. My kids were in at 2 days old, you know. It's just all a matter of perspective. So just remember that it's not always your perspective, and have people help you with that. If you get to know someone who's only been at the church for a few weeks, just ask them. You know, did you under, you know, was it hard? I know it's complicated. And when I'm sending you here and I'm sending you there. But, you know, is there a way, is there something you could tell me that could help me know how to make it a little bit better, to make you feel better, someone coming to the church for the first time feel better? And that's the most important thing, because if they feel good, they'll come back. If they feel yucky and they weren't, you know, if you come in and there's trash all over the floor, you go to put your child in the nursery, there's trash all over the floor, and you just watched the nursery worker that was in there wipe six noses with the same Kleenex, you're probably going to turn around and walk away. So those are all the things. Just remember the perspective of other people. So you look at things with an eye. You think you're looking perspectively, but you're not. You see things with that skewed vision because you know what goes on. You know all those things. And so try to think of it as, what if I was here for the first time? What would I think, or where would I go? Letter I is include. Include the caregivers in the act of visiting and being involved with the families that attend your church. Everyone likes attention. Know their names. Try to figure out what makes them most comfortable. Try your best to figure out what makes the kids most comfortable. Ask the parents. Does he like his blanket? Does he like to sleep on his side? Does he like to sleep, you know, does he like his bottle warm? Does he like it cold? How does he like it? Tell me whatever I need and what I can do to make him have or her have the best time in here. It's not all going to be perfect, but what can I do to make it as best as I can? If they're crying when they come in, we used to have many, many years ago, the lady that helped Mrs. Chapel, I mean, it was kind of their philosophy. If the children cried, oh well, we didn't go get the parents. We are dealing with a different generation. If they cry, and especially if they tell you, if they cry, I want you to come and get me, go and get them. Because they have to trust you. If they don't trust you, they're not going to leave them there. And what I've learned over the years is what I try to do is I go, you know what, you tell me what you want me to do. If you want him to cry for 10 minutes and I'll come get you, I don't have a problem. And what generally ends up happening is, so they'll say, okay, yeah, come and get me in 10 minutes. So you go get them in 10 minutes, you built up that trust, you went and got them. The next week when they come, he may say, okay, let him cry for 15 minutes. And then before you know it, it's like, he'll be fine. Because she trusts you. But you break that trust instantly, because that child could have started crying 2 minutes before she walked around the counter. But to her, he has been crying the whole time. And shame on you that you didn't come and get me. I told you to come and get me, and you didn't come and get me. And that's, you want to build the trust up as best as you can. Once they trust you, they'll like you, and they'll feel much better about putting their children in and giving them to you. And make sure your workers understand that. That's why you try to take so much away from the actual counter. You know, when we're walking them back, we'll say, well, you know, if he's already crying, we'll say, oh, well, you just let us know. You let us know exactly what you want us to do. You know, I have some that say, if he fusses, page me. Well, do you know, there's really a broad definition of fuss. What do you mean? Do you mean screaming bloody murder, or do you mean, eh? And some people mean, eh. You know, I have had many, many, many of people tell me, My children never, you know, I never let him cry. I'm like, wow. That's amazing. I've had three children. I do not know how you manage that feat of them never, ever crying. I don't even know what could. Or they'll bring in, they'll have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. They've never been apart. I'm really sorry, but you can't put the 4-year-old with the 2-year-old, and you can't put the 2-year-old with the 4-year-old. It's just how we do it here. So don't ever apologize for what you've decided works the best for your ministry. Don't apologize for it, but give it in a manner that is acceptable and not, sorry, we don't split them up. You've never let your baby cry? You know, those type of things. Just say, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll do the best that we can do. You know, whatever you want us to do, we'll do the best that we can. If you always have that attitude, it just brings them right down. When I worked for a grocery store when I was younger, the boss would say, you know, you kill them with kindness. If someone starts to yell at you, you just don't get, it's very difficult because you end up, the louder someone gets, the louder you get. It's very difficult to try to keep, the louder they get, you come down further. Don't go up with them, because the only thing that they're going to remember when they walked out is what you did. And whatever you did justified whatever they did. Well, she was yelling at me. Well, sure, I'm justified. Well, she started yelling at me first. Well, yes, but that doesn't matter, because that's all she remembers. That's not, I know we're at church and it's children, but that is customer service. They're the mom. They know their children. I could never stand it when I would go to the doctor and the doctor would be like, well, there's nothing wrong with him. And it's like, but I know my child. I know there's something wrong with him. You know, and if you would just take 5 minutes and listen to me, I know he's not running a fever, but he doesn't normally run a fever. Could you please, you know, you wanted to say, could you just check his ears? I think he has an ear infection. Because, of course, they don't think, you know, I don't have a medical degree. And if they would just take, my children didn't run fevers when they had ear infections. And those were those pat questions that they would ask you before they would let you go to the doctor. Oh, has he had a fever? No. Does he tug on his ears? No. But my kids don't do that. You know that as a mom. You know what your children, and that's what mom, so you can't argue with mom. I'm sure most of you have had where they go, oh, he's really crabby tonight. I'll be praying for you. And he's the best he's ever been. And then she could forgive, he's tired. And he's like wide awake. You know, it's like you don't argue with what they know. They know what they know. And then do the best that you can do. But include your workers into knowing those same things. When the child comes back to them, they need to know the child's name. They need to know who mom and dad are. It just makes the relationship better. That's why we'll go visit them at the house. You know, that we'll take the kids a little toy or a little something. Now, the children don't like it so much because they're like, what is she doing here? She doesn't belong here. This is my house. That happens at church. But it just makes that we can't lead children to the Lord in the nursery, but we can minister to the parents. And that's who really needs, for the children to come, the parents need to be ministered to and not forgotten. And that's why when I have someone, you cannot put your child in our nurseries without giving us certain information. I always make sure that information gets to the soul winning department. Dana's the soul winning secretary. And I make sure that information gets to Dana, because they have to fill that out for me. They don't have to fill anything out in church. If they choose to, they do, but they don't have to. And that way, Dana gets it, and then it gets dispersed where it's supposed to go, so someone goes and visits those parents. We'll visit the children, but someone also needs to be Sunday school-wise invested in those parents also, and they'll get missed. It took us a little while to figure that out. Well, we had, and the way our system works and stuff, that, oh, no, they need to be put in. Even though the parents didn't show up for a Sunday school class, we were missing a whole group of people who only attended this service and only gave us their information. Just because they didn't, well, we can go visit them and get them to attend a Sunday school class. Generally, a first-time visitor isn't going to go to a Sunday school class unless whoever knocked on their door happened to be a Sunday school teacher, said, oh yeah, come to my class. So those are the things. So we try real hard to do that. Just try to make them as comfortable as they can and feel like they've come home. And that's what you want church to be. Not much different than home. With happy faces. Nobody wants a grumpy pastor. You know, nobody wants that. So, you know, try to make your nurseries the same way. Because whatever you do makes his job better or worse. Whatever you do in your nurseries and whatever you do with the children makes his job better or worse. And I always laugh and go, we used to, for Mother's Day, we would have the dads, men, work in the nursery. We would put girls, you know, teenagers with them for changing diapers and taking them to the bathroom. Now, that was always the best night in the nursery all year long. They don't cry when they're in there. They're not, they don't get frustrated, they don't cry, they don't get upset. And, but it was a few years that we were able to do that. And then it was kind of like pastor all of a sudden realized, you know, because, you know, pastors have that eye, you know, they're preaching, but they're also looking. Oh, so-and-so is not here. Oh, where's so-and-so? And then it's like, we're so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And they're all there. Well, we don't get to do that anymore. But we have wonderful college students now during that time, so we're still a little okay. But, you know, it is great to include, make sure you know the kids. That's the most important thing. Try to get to know their parents. Most of the workers that I have come from making a personal relationship with them. No one has ever, well, no one qualified has ever come up to me and said, can I work in the nursery? No one has ever done that that's qualified. I have lots that aren't qualified that will, you know, come and, oh, they'll offer all the time. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. We're good tonight. We're good. We got it. But that's how I started coming here. I didn't have any children. And some of my best friends still today, this is what I started doing with them. One of them asked me if I wanted to maybe work in the nursery, and I started working in the nursery. And with them, I have absolutely no problem scheduling ladies to work with their friends, as long as they know the rules. Now, you don't get to sit over there and talk while they're over here playing. You have to interact, but it makes it more pleasant. If you don't make relationships, they won't stay. If they come here and they don't have any relationship, they won't stay. That's with their children, that's with anything. And it makes it so much easier if you include them. And if you're nice to them, that, oh, here, I'll take your baby. And, you know, if you see them in the grocery store, say hello and walk up. And, you know, it's so easy to talk to a child. You know, probably my biggest problem is I know the children. I have to go through all the children's name to get to the parent's name. I'm like, oh, that's Billy and Bobby. Oh, Mrs. So-and-so. You know, it takes me a while to get there because I know all their children. I don't know them quite as well. And somebody will say, oh, do you know so-and-so? And I'm like, they have kids? They don't have kids. I don't know them. Especially now that we're sort of separated, they don't come to that building if they don't have children. So I'm like, do they have kids? If they don't have kids, probably not. Not yet, at least. So just make them feel comfortable. Know them. Make relationships with them. Make relationships yourself with your nursery workers. That's how I got my nursery leaders. I make a relationship with them. They see what I do and that it's not so terrible to be a nursery leader. You know, it's okay. Not everybody will hate you. You know, they're like, well, they won't like me if I'm a nursery leader. Yes, they will. They will just, you know, your friends, you know, just go, please do nursery for me, please. They're the ones that you can get to help you. So make as many as you can and have them make friends. So then you have more people. And that's how it grows. The T is for thankfulness. When they drop off their children, take the time for thanking them, for bringing them to you. We've tried really hard to where we say thank you, and then we'll always try to say, enjoy the service. Because that's what we want them to do. We want them to feel comfortable enough that they can go in and enjoy the service. Thank them for coming. Tell them to enjoy the service. Always pay attention to detail. Make sure that, you know, if it's their first time, realize it's their first time. Sometimes it gets a little hard, and then you say, oh, is this your first time? No, this is the 10th time I've been here. And then you're like, oh. So, you know, it's like asking a pregnant woman if you're not sure if she's pregnant or not. And you say, oh, are you pregnant? No, I'm not. You know, that type of thing. So just kind of find ways around it. Like, try to figure out a way to ask the question so you know, have you figured out? Like, we'll always say at the registration counter, oh, have y'all ever been here before? Is this your first time? You know, and stuff like that. So just, you know, this is my first time in here or something. Or my first Sunday morning in this one, I was in another one or whatever. Has Billy been here before? Is there anything you can tell us about Billy? So try to make that personal relationship. Remember to always greet the parents. Don't just take the child, greet the parents. Let them know you're happy that they're there. Please do not just take their child and go on to the next set of parents. You know, like assembly line. Okay, sign them in. Okay, I got that one. Okay, sign them in. I got that one. Okay, Cinnamon, I got that one. Take 5 seconds. It's okay. They can take 5 more minutes to get to church and just say, oh, you know, ask them, like, if you knew that he was sick last week, is he feeling better this week? We had a little boy and the two-year-olds the other night. He ran and he bumped into a chair and it split his head open. And so we stopped the bleeding. We got mom, and mom took him. He had just the glue. But every time I see her, I ask him how he's doing. I called her that night to see how he was doing. Brother Buller, which is ahead of the children's ministry, he called to see how he was doing. If needed be, we would have gone to the hospital. Try to make that relationship, because they're relationships that honestly will last a lifetime. If you put in the work and the time, you will have so many friends you won't know what to do with. And E is the most important. Enjoy. Remember to always have the joy of the Lord. Remember that this is not punishment. Get them to remember that. Doing nursery is not punishment. We're not trying to make your week horrible by asking you to work nursery tonight. We are trying to make you have a good time while you're in there and show that you have a good time. Enjoy it. I have always said that, it was funny, I was talking to one of my nursery leaders the other day, and I've known her for years, and I never would have guessed. It was so funny. We were just talking. I don't know what brought it up. But someone else was talking at the same time, and she said, oh, I didn't really even want kids. And she runs a nursery. She didn't even want children. She's been doing it for 15 years. She has 3 children, but she really didn't even want children. And she goes, and it was just so funny because I never knew that about her. She became a nursery leader. She was a great nursery worker. She became a nursery leader. Never would I have ever guessed that she honestly at one point didn't even want children. She was like, yeah, that just really wasn't my thing. But the Lord can do anything, and the Lord will make anything bad good. So, you know, on these days when they cry all the time, and I've been thrown up on 6 times, I've done 40 loads of laundry, which, thank the Lord, I have laundry facilities here now, but I've done 40 loads of laundry. I know that in the end, I love the Lord, and the Lord loves me. I love Pastor and Mrs. Chapel. I love that. I would do anything for them, but I don't do this for them. I couldn't do it for them. I couldn't do it as long as I've done it for them. I have to do it for the Lord. I have to. It's the only way that I can keep myself sane enough, because, you know, people can say things to you and make you feel a little bit better, but it's just so wonderful to know that what I'm doing counts for the Lord. I cannot even imagine what I was watching. I went to Costa Rica with my son on his senior trip. And what we were at church with one of the missionaries. It was his church, and it was so they're, I guess, technically Spanish. And so we're sitting, and there's like 20, 40 kids and a few of us adults, and we're sitting there during the service, and I am not kidding you. It was a revolving door. People up and down and moving children over here and moving children over there and going back. And they had nursery, and they were going back in and out, and it was just, and I'm thinking, how, I can hardly concentrate. How does he concentrate? I mean, they're walking right in front of him, taking him back to the nursery, and then coming back out, then going back to the nursery, the parents. And when he came to visit, it was a few months later, he was here in the States, and he came over, and he was talking to me, and he goes, it's cultural. They can't break it. They don't know how to break it, because it's cultural. They take their children everywhere. That does not affect them in any way, shape, or form. And I'm thinking, I can't even imagine. When we bought the pager system for the nurseries, they tried to sell me a cheaper version of the pager system, which would be, there would be a bar behind pastor somewhere, like at a restaurant where it lights up, number 14, number 11. And the guy was, he was being so sweet, like, oh, but this is like, I think it was like $800 cheaper or something. And I'm like, you don't understand. You don't know my pastor. He would be standing here preaching, and you all would be like, was that 14 or was that 11? Was that mine? Was that yours? Which one was that? And you'd be staring up, looking at him above him. And he'd be like, what is going on? And I said, yeah, it just won't work here. Our pastor's not like that. And there are, I know, ministries that use it that way. Our pastor's just not like that. He wants you focused. And I said, if you have I mean, even one baby in a whole long pew, one in front, one in back, and the pew that the baby's on, causes so much disruption. Everybody's looking behind. Oh, you know, I can't even imagine how it would be to have to do service with a two-year-old. When we had the old building, we used to, we were in the basement, and when the bathrooms were on the second floor, and you had to walk past the doors going into the auditorium to take them to the bathroom. Well, we live in the desert, and that church did not have central heat and air. It had swamp coolers. So when you have swamp coolers, you have to have ventilation. And it would be, I would pray so hard at the bottom of the stairs as we would walk up, because you'd have to take them. And there wasn't enough of you to hold everyone's hand. And you would just be praying, please don't let them see their mom and go jetting down the aisle. And it was a very short, it wasn't any much longer than this. And you're like, please, but you know, as you run them across there, you know, and run them back. And you know, we are so much more blessed today than, but that was a blessing back then. It taught me things, it taught the kids things, it taught the parents things, that, you know, everything's not perfect. You know, of course, I would love a 10-story building, parking underneath so the parents wouldn't have to deal with anything. You know, just ride the elevator up, drop them off, ride the elevator down, get in their car and be gone. I would love that. I pray for that every day. I pray that one day that I have so much more. When this building was built, I got to have input on, you know, where do you want this? And I was like, okay, I want the plugs high. There are bathrooms in the two-year-old nurseries, and I wanted the little potties because they're little people. They don't need to sit on a big toilet and all this stuff. But you know, we haven't built any nurseries in, oh my goodness, I don't even know, 15 years? Well, Morgan's, no, 20 years. We really haven't built any buildings, any nurseries. And then they just built the West Wing. Oh my soul. It's like I literally have died and gone to heaven. I have, my husband's a deacon. And I'm talking to Brother Christensen, and he goes, okay, we're gonna buy you a washer and dryer. I'm okay. Good, perfect, because I don't have to haul it home and haul it back. And other ladies don't have to haul it home and haul it back. And he goes, we're going to get you two sets. Well, I'm thinking like, you know, a wife, a mom, or whatever. I'm like, oh, I don't need two sets. I'm like, good night. I don't need two sets of washers and dryers. I mean, why would I? One set is enough. I can get it going, you know. And my husband, I get home, and my husband is so funny. He goes, you never give back what they give you. If they give you 10 sets, take them all. You will figure out a way to use them. So I go back to Brother Chris's and go, can I change my mind and can I have both sets? Oh my goodness, I don't know what I would do without both sets. I mean, I get two loads done, going, I get two loads in the dryer, I get them folded, I'm done. I go again. It's been such a blessing with the conference. If somebody messes something, we can throw it in the wash real quick, and then we can just throw it in the dryer, you know, and try to get, you know, try to help, especially you guys from out of town. It's very difficult. You don't want to take that all the way home. So it just helps a little bit. I mean, there are so many, it is like I have a full kitchen. Well, not stove and stuff, but I have a full-size refrigerator. I'm like going, really, this is mine? This is beyond, the laundry room makes my laundry room at home look sad. I'm like, maybe I'll just move here, take up this little space in the room since I'm here most of the time. But it's progressed. We didn't start out like that. But, you know, we're getting to that point, and it's wonderful. And it will just keep, the blessings just keep coming. They're building the East Wing, and I get two more in the East Wing. But there's things about the West Wing that I'm like, okay, there's a couple things I'd still change. When we do the East Wing, you know, okay, maybe we don't need this because you think you have something you don't, but you might not really need it. And all those things are wonderful, and it just makes, I do this because I love it. I love my church. I love the parents. I love the kids. Probably if I had to choose one, I'd pick the kids. My daughter, we were sitting at my son's baseball game, and she was like 14 at the time. She goes, Mom, do you know how much funner this would be if they didn't bring any parents? And I'm like, you're absolutely right, because we're half the problem. He's like leaping into your arms to go into the nursery, and she's like, do you want to go? Are you sure you want to go? Well, do you want to stay with Mom? Are you sure? I don't think he's going to want to go. I'm like, lady, he's jumping out of your arms. He is ready to go, you know, because it's their security. And those are, but you have to be careful. You can't just rip them out of their arms and say, okay, we're going. So just remember, it is wonderful. The blessings. I had a family stop me the other day. I went over to the modular for something. And as I came out on Sunday morning, He stopped me. He goes, do you remember me? He goes, we saw you first when we came to this church. He goes, we're members now, and you know their kids are older now. And I'm like, yes, I remember you. And I remember, he goes, and he didn't come right out and say it, but it made me feel like that one of the reasons why they decided to come here permanently was because of the kindness that I gave them. For honestly, at the most, it would have probably been for that, because she was a five-year-old when she came, for 10 minutes. I registered him, got him to class, had a little conversation with him, and honestly had not truly seen them again since the other day. And I just, you know, you do make an impression. And it's the most important thing, to keep letting your nursery workers know that. They do make an impression. They're not going to get saved. But whether they're here in 3 years makes a difference on what they do and what they don't do. Their job is important. It's not glorified babysitting.